welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from the quarantine cabin on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. We're here Monday through Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. That's how it all works. You listen. You watch on YouTube. If you're not there, you can get subscribed right now. You tell a friend. You support the sponsors. You tag a bitch. Tag a bitch in my Instagram posts. That's how it all works. It's given the gift of J Train, and I'm going to give you the gift today because I'm very excited about today's guest. Listen, some of you may know I have a I've stumbled into the world of charcuterie. And somehow I have ended up being some sort of an authority because I talk out of my ass loudly. But I wanted to bring on a real authority on the charcuterie world. It is so exciting. Such a pleasure. Marissa Mullen, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I feel honored. This is amazing.
This is amazing. If you don't know Marissa, her Instagram account is called @thatcheeseplate. @thatcheeseplate. You all need to go follow. You all need to go to support. And she has a book out right now that you can all purchase. It's called That Cheese Plate Will Change Your Life. She's holding it up for everyone on Instagram land. And she also has another Instagram account called Cheese by Numbers that helps you basically explain cheese by numbers, and we'll go backwards.
Yeah, so cheese by numbers is the method behind crafting the perfect cheese plate. So it's a six-step process where step one is cheese, step two is meat, produce, crunch, dip, garnish, and it breaks it down into sections. So it's really easy to build, no questions asked.
I love this because one of the thing that people will say that I have a problem with grapes. I don't have a problem with grapes. I have a problem with proportions. What people will put into, and this is, you're basically mapping out the proper proportions for people.
Yeah. With your produce, you got to make produce ponds with your salami river. I've used terms for everything just because it visually makes sense in my mind. But
absolutely.
You can't overload a produce pond with too many grapes because it will off balance the whole plate in itself, you know?
See, this is the type of thing. So how we got together is that you and I are both like, you know, you're talking charcuterie. I'm thinking, you know, comedy stuff. I'm making fun of boards. And I was like, maybe this could be. So we kind of got like fixed up in a way creatively where they were like, hey, if you guys want to have like a TV show type of thing, start talking. And we started talking. I was like, she gets it. She gets where I'm coming from. You get my vibe.
Yeah. I mean, we had a proper charcuterie chat in person.
Yes.
And I feel like we met on a lot of levels with our charcuterie thoughts.
Absolutely. And so explain the book for people. And I want everyone, if you're going to go buy a book, this is the book you got to buy. And if you're into charcuterie, if you're into things I wouldn't say, would you call yourself an expert? What would you call yourself?
I mean, I'm definitely a food stylist. I'm a photographer. I've been in the world of cheese now for 7 years. So yeah. I have relentlessly questioned cheesemongers, been to dairy farms, met dairy farmers, have been in the cheese community for a very long time. I've never been a properly trained cheesemonger, but I have grown up around food my entire life. Like, my dad's a self-taught chef, and my cousins used to live across the street from a dairy farm in Vermont that we go to all the time. And I'm just a cheese fan.
But most importantly, you're thinking of these things. And I think the one thing that frustrates me, like, my perspective is I'm the fat idiot who's hungry at your party.
Yes.
I show up to the party. I need to eat. And your board looking nice is secondary to me than to will I be satiated.
Yeah, and you want the practicality of the cheese plate. That's what it's there for. It's there to feed you. You don't care about any acorns or rosemary sprigs. You're like, where's the cheese and meat? What pairing should I eat?
I mean, I've told you I have a fetishized dream of picking up a pine cone from someone's cheese plate and eating it in front of the person who made it and have them be like, are you eating the pine cone? And I'll be like, yeah, it was on the plate. Why wouldn't I fucking eat it? Like, I have
something
this
off limits here.
Yeah. Why would you put it there if I couldn't eat it? That's my dream. But yeah. So the book is a way to lead people to make the proper decisions, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing with the book is that it's a blueprint. That's kind of how I see it. So mm-hmm. there's 50 different cheese plates in here for every occasion that you can imagine.
So you have the Kroger's cheese plate in there.
Yeah. The first plate in the book is called the Back to Basics plate.
Love it.
And it's basically featured three very basic cheeses, Manchego, Brie, and Cheddar, mm-hmm. and simple items from the grocery store that you can purchase.
So you don't have to go to the grocery store where it feels like you have to wear a tux to walk in. You can go to the Star Market, the Kroger's, the Food Mart, and just get
whatever. Oh, yeah.
Because my girlfriend and I, we did this like wine tasting, and my friend was like, get pungent cheeses. And then we went to, like, I'm looking out the window at it, Essex Market, and they have a cheese counter. And I'm the idiot being like, pungent, please.
Well, the thing is cheesemongers, so you probably went to Saxelby Cheese, which is in Essex Market, legendary cheese shop. They know what they're talking about. And the thing with this book is, like, it's the perfect size. So there are plates in here that use fancy cheese mm-hmm. and to support local cheesemongers, cheese businesses, amazing stuff and great pairing. So what you do, you just bring the book into the store with you and you say, hey, do you have truffle tremor? And they're like, yeah, here you go. And if you don't have access to that, you can just replace it with another goat cheese or something that's like similar, just so the pairings still work.
But at least you're speaking the same language as the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely teaches you terms to say. If you're a cheese beginner, like the whole beginning of the book is just basic cheese terms, which is really helpful.
Like I legitimately, this guy could have been like, yeah, you got, oh, pungent cheese, you got to buy this Ferrari. And I'd be like, of course.
I would have gone along
with anything he said. So that's why I think a book like this is important. If you're going to be, you know, entertaining, go mm-hmm. get the book. Go right now. That cheese plate will change your life. Go follow at that cheese plate. I'm a fan. It is J Train approved. We got to talk future of charcuterie. Where do we go with considering the pandemic and everything that's going on?
Yeah, man, loaded question. I would say, first of all, grazing tables, we might not see as many of them anymore.
I'm excited about that. No, I'm happy about that. I hate the grazing table. To me, that was a lazy way of looking like you did a lot of work.
Okay. Well, first of all, that is my opinion.
I'm just saying, like, you with the grazing table, it was so huge.
Yeah. I think they're practical for an event like a wedding or, you know, different a massive party where you're trying to feed a lot of people and it looks like a beautiful tablescape or like a very nice centerpiece. And then you get closer and you see that there are nice pairings and cheese that's cut so you can pick it up with a toothpick. We can't really touch things now in quarantine. Mm-hmm. So like that might not be in the picture.
Well,
and
my huge issue with the grazing table is that if it's at a wedding, okay, it's assumed there's also dinner. When you do a grazing table at your house, it is such a grand thing that everyone oohs and ahs, but no one's like, is there going to be a hot meal too? What's going on here? Like, my first question when I see a grazing table is, I hope to, oh my God, are we going to take a dinner on the way home?
Is this it? Or the grazing tables where they put like cheeseburgers on the table as part
Fuck
of the
that.
Charcuterie board.
Fuck that. I don't want a cold cheeseburger. I want my cheeseburgers hot off the grill. I don't want, this is the thing. This is where the hunger is put second place to the picture. And that's what really grinds my gears. I'm like, holy shit, I got to fucking eat cold burgers so this person can get a like.
To get the pick, you know?
Yeah. And I get needing the pick. I'm in that world too.
Well, the thing is with cheese, when it sits out, it gets better. You're supposed to leave cheese out for an hour before you serve it. So that makes sense to be on a grazing table.
Fine.
But a burger, you don't want sitting out for an hour.
Get out of here. And it's like, you know, it's funny. Like I rail against these favors that people seemingly can, these favors that people say they can claim they're doing good. But you know it's selfish. Putting an acorn is selfish. That wasn't for me. That was for you.
Putting the acorn is just part of the process of creating this this plate. You don't have to eat it.
I wanted to do something with you, Marissa. I'm so happy to have you here. Everyone go follow at that cheese plate. That cheese
like
plate will change your life.
We're like the devil and the angel.
I know. Well, now, and you're in white, I'm in black. Yeah. So I want to bring up, I emailed you before the show. These are sent to me from listeners, okay?
Yes.
Now, I want to, we'll go in order. I sent you an Instagram link first. Let's go to that one first. You tell me what you think of that cheese plate, and we'll play it. And this is all on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, get subscribed to the channel. You'll see all the plates we're talking about. I'm going to post this on my Instagram as well. So I want to go through some of my audience sent me their cheese plates, their charcuterie. You tell me what you think. You are the expert. What do you think of these ones I sent? Let's start with the first one.
Okay. So disclaimer before we begin, I think that expressing your creativity through cheese plate, you do you. I'm not here to judge, but I have suggestions.
So okay.
You can take them or leave them, but they're just suggestions.
I appreciate that perspective. I will say, yeah, I'm happy everyone who gives it a shot, but you will be judged for that shot. But okay.
He's here to judge you. I'm here to say, here's a suggestion, but you do you. Okay,
cool.
All right, the first one. So we have a cheese plate video.
Yes.
I do like how they pre-cut the hard cheese. That's important. You always want to pre-cut your hard cheese.
So you want to pre-cut the hard cheese?
You do. You want to pre-cut the hard cheese, maybe a little bit. Like, even if you have a hard, like a big hard-wheeled cheese or slice of cheese, you want to just take a few slices to cut, because being at a party with like a hunk of cheddar and a knife in it, it's like, you feel embarrassed doing that.
This is great. The only time the only time I rail against the pre-cut cheese is when it's like a Kraft packaged cheese, because I'm like, and I'm cool with that, but it better look like the rest of the board. If you have pre-cut cast, it's got
to
fit in. You know, I don't want a jalopy at the car show.
Exactly.
So if you have a jalopy cheese,
Kraft single, make it look nice on the plate.
Yeah. Yes. Kraft singles can't be next to whole wheat stone ground crackers. You're trying to be something you're not, so what do you think of this board?
Okay. My problem is the pomegranate seeds, I would say.
Okay.
I see that they are sprinkled on the top as a garnish.
Yes.
But the thing with pomegranate seeds is that they are a little bit messy. They tend to stain everything, and they're not a garnish like something that I like to use garnish with rosemary, which is, it's like, it doesn't leak everywhere. It's a dry garnish. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so, like, I necessarily wouldn't want to have to, like, dig through pomegranate seeds to get to certain items of the plate.
I couldn't agree more. Nothing bothers me more than when someone thinks they're Salt Bae with the pomegranate seeds. Like, get the fuck out of here. Either stand by your decision, put it in a ramekin, either stand by the decision or not. This is a halfway decision. They're not confident in the pomegranate seed, so they put it out. What do you think of the well, let's go to the next one, because that's a video one. Let's go to the next one. This one, what do you think of this one?
This one is confused. This one has a lot of ideas happening at once, and from first glance, I'm just like a little confused as to like
at first glance, it looks like garbage. It looks like you took out garbage and this was put out back for Lady and the Tramp to eat.
Well, so what's confusing, first of all, is there's like a Santa knife and then a fish ramekin. And
aesthetically, before we get to
the food on the plate. Yeah, the theme of the bowls and the knives are kind of mismatched, which is cool. That's the style.
Well, this is again, hold on. They wanted to go so big to distract us from them not even having the appropriate amount of silverware. So they're like, go to the Christmas silverware. We need something.
Something. Okay. Yeah. The honeycomb concerns me.
That is, again, a honeycomb, like,
messy,
sticky.
That's going to start to seep. Like, you don't want to put that directly there next to
pink
M&Ms and tomatoes.
Yeah, I'm with you. And also,
I'm sorry. What are the pink things on the plate?
I thought those were, I guess they're yogurt something. I thought for a second that they were going
to... Yogurt chips.
I thought they look like a yogurt something covered. To me, I honestly thought it was plastic that got chipped off of something. Like, okay, but I didn't think of the risen honey being a problem because it's going to ooze down.
Yeah, it's going to ooze down onto the hummus below, which I don't know if you really want honey hummus.
No. I want that made by someone who is learned in the hummus ways. I need like an Israeli guy going, yeah, we do a hummus thing that has honey in it. I know you think that's crazy, but we're a professional.
Listen to us, because it's from our homeland.
I don't want it from, you know, Johnny Santa Claus knife. No. Okay, let's go to the next one.
Okay.
Now, this person actually messaged me. They sent me this one. They said the cheese is under the glass thing because it's smelly. What are your thoughts on covering a smelly cheese?
So if you cover smelly cheese, I'm sorry, you're going to make it more smelly. Cheese needs to breathe. It needs to aerate. If you have a smelly cheese.
I love how wrong this fucking idiot was. I love it because they took out, they treated this as if it's a crystal covering that, like, they were like, well, this is the cheese covering. It's like, no,
but then,
this
isn't. Like,
where
do you put it when you serve? Like, where do you put it when you serve the cheese? Just on the side, and then it's just in the way.
I don't even look like I can. I don't think I could lift that. I'm not like a weak guy.
It looks heavy as shit.
So you gotta hold it with one hand, put your plate down, then use a knife. That's the fucking that's the CrossFit games.
It's charcuterie CrossFit. Charcuterie fit.
So what else do you see about this board?
So the toothpicks. I would have put the toothpicks on the side and given
they
you
look
like
dangerous.
You can start to use your toothpick to put, like, I get you want to get people started to start serving themselves with the toothpicks, but it does look a little sharp in there.
Yeah, the toothpicks, they look, you know what they look like in feudal times when they put up a fence that were the pointy things out so you couldn't jump over it. What do you think of these figs?
So I love fresh figs. I think they're a great addition. They don't have too much overpowering sweet flavor. I see these are drizzled with maybe a balsamic glaze.
Okay.
That's a choice. I feel like...
Explain. When a woman says that's a choice and then stops, it's usually not a good sign.
I'm looking at the plate and I'm like, okay, balsamic drizzled figs, that's like, you know, something of a Mediterranean Italian idea.
Sure.
And then you have the peppers next to it. Okay. The grapes.
Would a fig hypothetically go with a pepper?
A roasted red pepper, maybe in the family, but I wouldn't put it together as a pairing. I would if I was doing like an Italian antipasta plate, I'd probably do like roasted red peppers in a ramekin, fresh figs on the other side of the plate over in like more of the
These don't look like they
land.
It looks like they had a plate and then they threw it on the corner. Like it shouldn't be.
It was like
there.
An afterthought. Yeah. It was an afterthought.
What is that with in the ramekin? What is that thing with the toothpicks coming out that looks like it's...
I think that's marinated artichokes.
Okay.
It seems. Which makes sense if we're going with this this antipasta platter vibe. But then the other side of the plate gets into like hummus land again with the pita chips and the celery. So just like the idea and the theme behind this plate, I think, is a little confused. Mm-hmm. But I do see, I wonder what's under that glass container. I'd want to know what cheese that is.
Well, I wonder. It's hiding a fart, apparently. It's so smelly they had to cover it up. That is not a good sign for the people at the party. Oh, what's under the glass? Oh, that's the smell like shit cheese. We had to cover it up. It smelled so fucking bad. Yeah. That makes I can't wait to eat it.
If you have smelly cheese in your fridge, 100% of the time it will smell worse in your fridge. You have to take it out and let it air out.
All right, let's go to the next one. What do you think of the snap peas on this one? What do we think of snap peas on a charcuterie board?
So I use snap peas, especially on spring cheese plate. I feel like they're a great neutral ground for like a goat cheese, for like a fresh springtime vibe.
Okay.
I don't think I would necessarily pair them with like a chicken liver mousse or whatever this is in the... container.
I mean, you were kinder to the chicken liver mousse than I would have been. I thought someone took a dump in that box, and then they spread it out to make it like that is the most off-putting
like some sort
container.
Of like mousse.
It's something. I don't know what
it's
it
some
is.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right. The salami needs work.
Now you are the inventor of something called the salami river. Explain
yes,
that
indeed.
To the people listening right now.
So the salami river is a stylistic choice of meat flowing down the center of your cheese plate. And mm-hmm. it also serves a purpose because when you serve charcuterie, a lot of the times it comes in a package and it's all stuck together and it's kind of mm-hmm. hard to take apart. If you fold the meat into a salami river, you literally take a piece out and then it just kind of accordions out. So it never really
got
looks
it.
Bad.
Now, what do you think, like, as far as, like, should people be wearing gloved hands to fold their meats? How?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
If
yes.
you see a
you
bare
touch
hand,
every piece when you're folding a salami river. So yeah. I always use gloves. I mean, I don't like having slimy charcuterie hands. So
sure,
I like
neither.
Using gloves. But, yeah, I mean, especially nowadays, to be sanitary, you should use gloves or wash your hands.
Like for this board, specifically, like the salami in the middle looks fine. The salami on the right actually looks pretty good because it looks like it's got some spice to it. The prosciutto is a mess.
Prosciutto is difficult. It's difficult.
How do you?
It's because meat.
Prosciutto does have a labia looking. Thing going on. Like it's just never, when it's done right, I know it's done right. When it's done wrong, I'm like, this is a mess. Someone puked up a bunch of dead skin and put it on the plate. How do you suggest people go about plating prosciutto?
Plating prosciutto. Okay. So you have your package of prosciutto, right? Mm. Take out a slice. So it's dangling in your hand. Imagine I'm
okay.
holding prosciutto.
Yeah.
And just let it fold in on itself. So it has these nice little folding.
Ooh.
Like I'll show you. I probably have one in the book.
This is in the book.
Listening can't hear, but this one here, see up top.
See, that's beautiful. That's a, plate I'm digging into.
This is the burrata bar plate. Everything you need to make a burrata bite.
And the book is called That Cheese Plate Will Change Your Life. Go, 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 go get it. We're going to do some emails. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I want to do one more board.
Okay.
Okay. The last one I want to do is this dessert board. What are your thoughts on the dessert boards, on the breakfast boards, on these kind of these things that have taken over the idea of charcuterie and put them into a different world? What are your thoughts here on the J Train podcast? Marissa Mullen's going to give her thoughts on non-cheese and meat boards.
Yeah, so I say you do you again, mm-hmm. but don't call it charcuterie. I see this every day. People tag me and stuff like this. There's no meat to be found. Charcuterie means meat. There's no meat to be found. There's no, like, literally, it's the French term for
cured meat. There is nothing more American than hearing, being like, charcuterie, and then being like, yeah, that means food on plate. And then just taking it over. Yeah, and then taking it over and putting bacon and eggs and being like, look at my charcuterie.
Yeah. I mean, it's the French word for cured meat. So I feel like that's the first problem. Don't call it a charcuterie board. If someone sent this to me and said, hey, do you like my dessert cookie board? I'd be like, cool. Yeah, it's not a cheese plate. So
well,
I don't
this
have
is,
anything to tell you, but
you nailed it. This is a cookie board, bitch. This is not a dessert board. If it was a dessert board, we'd see a variety of goods. This has one good. So
this is cookie. Dessert board though, right?
But to me, you went and got cookies. Like when you put it on a board, it's like when you go, you ever watch like Bar Rescue and then they're like, if you put it in this cup, it's a dollar more because people think they're getting added value. To me, when people put a bunch of cookies on a board, they're like, charcuterie. Like, now they're fancy.
you went to
Star Market and got these, yeah?
I think that displaying your cookies like this is a very tasteful way if you're having a party. Because imagine if you had, like, 7 plastic containers of cookies from Costco just sitting on the counter, and you're like, eat your cookies, here's your dessert.
I totally agree with that.
Don't
call it charcuterie. Don't call it a dessert board, call it the cookie board.
The cookie board.
Let's set expectations, not to, you know, we don't want expectations to outdo the reality.
I think what happened is when the cheese plate trend became big, mm-hmm. people started calling them cheese and charcuterie boards because that's cheese and charcuterie featured on these plates. And then that kind of went into the charcuterie territory of people just assuming a board was considered charcuterie.
Just anything and then, goes.
And then you have like your lobster on a plate and it's called charcuterie and that just isn't. So it's like a board. There's a difference between a board and charcuterie.
I love it. Listen, Marissa, I'm so happy to have you on the show. That was so much fun. I want everyone to go follow Marissa Mullen right now at That Cheese Plate. Go buy the book. Anywhere you can buy books, That Cheese Plate will change your life. That's the book, at Cheese by Numbers. That's her other account. I'm going to have it all over my social media. Let's do some emails. You ready?
All right.
We are sponsored, people. The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Brooklinen. Bringing comfort into your home is the ultimate form of self-care, and now more than ever, it's important to take care of yourself and each other. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. Why not make it insanely comfy? That's where Brooklinen comes in. They're the internet's favorite sheets, over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. I love these sheets. Jess and I, when we moved into the new apartment, we went on Brooklinen and used the promo code and bought new sheets, and they're unbelievable. And now with, you know, the quarantine and being home more, what's more important than making your home like the most comfortable it could ever be? And this is one of those small ways. You don't have to move. You don't have to get a pool. You don't have to put in new drywall. Get some sheets. It's like you redid your room. It is a revamp that is very low investment, and it's going to make your nights so much better. I'm a huge fan of their sheets. I've had them for years, and I've rebought them. That's how much I love them. Brooklinen puts comfort first with bedding, towels, shower curtains, bath mats, and even loungewear that makes you feel like you've never left your bed. These days, it's never been harder or more important to get a good night's sleep. Brooklinen will help you create a bedroom oasis that's the perfect place to escape. It's hard to imagine a summer stuck inside the house, but if we have to do it, keep everyone safe. I want to be as comfortable as possible. If you're working from home, staying comfortable is the best way to stay productive. And Brooklinen is there for me during every part of my daily routine. A good night's sleep is priceless and increasingly harder to come by. So Brooklinen helped me build a bedroom oasis that's a perfect place to escape. I'm a huge fan of what they do. They have hotel quality sheets where they've cut out the middleman and make the mailman work for you and bring you a brand new bedroom. Brooklinen's Memorial Day event is going on now. You don't want to miss out on all the big savings, including their newest hammam and linen collections. But if you can't wait, get 10% off your first order and free shipping with promo code JTRAIN, 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 only at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Go, go, go. Go support them. JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com. JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com. His married ex reached out in quarantine.
Oof.
Okay, you ready? Jared, I found the UF podcast, JTRAIN podcast, and Bachelor live stream just before quarantine. They've been a saving grace, feather. I've shared with the group chat and can't wait for you to come to Chicago once after this is over. A huge topic you've enlightened your listeners on is exes reaching out during quarantine. But what about married exes? My boyfriend and I have been quote-unquote friends for 2 years, but have been dating the last 5 months. We're pretty transparent about our past relationships, experiences, and get a kick out of the awkward, funny stories. Last year, his long-term college ex got married to the guy she met right after they broke up. While she and her now husband were dating, she had reached out several times asking for dating advice from him. To my knowledge, he never initiated the conversation, only responded. Last night, we were talking about one of my friends whose ex recently reached out. I mentioned that you talked about it on your podcast and how this is happening a lot during quarantine. He replied saying that his married ex had reached out last week to ask if he wanted to if he'd watched the Parks and Rec reunion since they used to watch that show together. He said he left her on red for a few days, then responded he hadn't. I didn't ask if she responded or if there was more of the conversation. For context, we live in Chicago. She lives hours in another state. He and I are 26, and I believe she just turned 24. Their breakup was messy and fucked him up pretty bad to the point where he didn't see anyone past date one or sleep with anyone for almost 4 years. Why does she keep reaching out? Why does he respond? Is he covering his ass by telling me so I don't I don't get to be upset if it comes up later, even though he still waited a week to tell me. Should I take this seriously, or is it just harmless conversation? Should I ask him to cut it off? And if so, how? I am feeling confused and a little insecure, but I'm not sure if that's warranted. So what do you think?
Wait, can we do the math real quick? So she's 24.
Yes.
He didn't sleep with anyone for 4 years.
Okay.
And then...
No.
So how was this a college relationship?
So he's 26.
Okay.
They're 26. Hold on. For context, he and I are 26. They broke up 2 years. They were friends for 2 years. Last year, his long-term... It's his college ex got married to the guy she met right after they broke up.
Okay. Because that's one thing. College relationships...
Yeah.
They're always a little messy. Always. It's like you're in college and you're in this relationship, and this one especially. I mean, if she broke up with him, I assume.
Because it was messy because he's having a hard time getting over it, so it feels like it was him getting dumped and not the other way around. Yeah.
Yeah, and then she gets into a relationship directly after that, marries the guy.
Yeah.
And so I feel like she either A is a little bit manipulative.
Yeah.
And sort of wants to kind of still be in this guy's life, although she broke up with him, which manipulative.
Well,
she's just like really bored in her marriage and just needs to feel a spark again. I don't know.
Yeah. Why does she keep reaching out? That's the first question. She keeps reaching out. You're right. I think for excitement, because when someone says that their breakup was messy and fucked him up pretty bad, to me, that means she broke up with him and then kept him in the loop, kept him at arm's distance while they were broken up, and he kept coming back and it never worked out. And
she knows that she could always get a response from him, which is
totally
like the number one reason why people reach out to their exes. They want to hear.
They want to know that, someone that had been with them would still answer them. So it is manipulative, but also she got married after college. So like there's a big part of this where it's like, they said they live in Chicago and she lives hours in another state. There's not a lot of cities around Chicago that are like bumping Chicago's. Chicago's a great city. So she's hours away. That means she's in bumfuck with her marriage. And now her only outlet, because she didn't let herself be single, her only outlet is the one guy that she can get a rise and have variables with. When you move to the suburbs.
There are some nice dairy farms outside of Chicago that she can go visit for fun.
So she's at a dairy farm milking cows all day. Yeah. And she's like, well, my husband's asleep. He won't fuck me. What do I do? Okay, I'll reach out to the old ex to see if he'll answer me for shits and giggles. And it's like, so it means nothing to her other than she gets a variable in her life. Why does he respond? He responds because I think there's the nature of like not shaking the boat. Like some people
he probably doesn't want to feel bad. You know, he doesn't want to like make her. It's like it's easier to respond sometimes than to not, because then you might start something and it's just not try to rock the boat.
Exactly. And also to that point, it's like you don't respond. And like to even say, like, if there's someone in your life that just like nicely reaches out and you go, hey, I'm with someone new, I would appreciate it. They could put you in the position if they don't get it. They could put you in the position where it's like, well, I was just being nice. Well, you think everything's about sex, and it's like surface level, they're kind of right, but you're more right. You're more the one. And it's like, I agree that it's very difficult to do that. Like, it's very difficult to just create conflict out of seemingly nowhere when there is conflict.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's a lot that we might not know about this story too. Like,
to be fair, he could be texting her more than he says, and he could be keeping this going to see, he could still have feelings for her and, all that stuff. I mean, that's another road. But I would say to this person who's writing in, who's the other woman, I do empathize with why he responds. I do understand why he's told her. Of course he told her not to get in trouble.
It's good that he told her. I feel like if he didn't tell her, that would be sketchy. And that would be the situation of like, oh, maybe he still has feelings for her. But since he did tell her, I feel like he's just like, listen, this girl keeps texting me. I'm just trying to be open, telling you what's happening. And that's good.
It also makes sense that it was a week later. Like, it's very weird. Like, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. He gets a text from her and he goes, look at my ex is texting. Now he looks like he cares too much. Now, you know, like a week later, he had to bring it up to get out of it. Like, there's no
There's no middle ground.
And you're
screwed either way.
There's a lot of people text that they would never go and actually make time to see. Texting is this weird land of like there's a guy who I only send the picture of the big naked guy that everyone was sending around. Like there are people that I would never like be like, hey, you want to get lunch? Like I'd be like, no.
You're like, here's this picture of a naked dude. Cause like a text is just, it's like empty, you know?
Exactly.
But it can be so full at the same time. It's so complicated.
I know. I always say a text is like a gift. It's like, you know, and you just want to open it up. It feels good to open a gift. You just don't know what's inside. So it could be a sweater and it could be $1 million. You don't know. The same box, it fits in both. So I do understand how she's going a different place. To me, if I'm her, what should she do?
If you're the other girl or if you're I would say like, you know, try to not get too caught up in it because I think it's good that he's telling her.
Yeah.
I think if she were to say like text the ex-girlfriend, that could open a can of worms and like unnecessary drama. But like be careful. And if this girl keeps reaching out over and over and you see that this is a pattern, maybe talk to your boyfriend and be like, hey, this doesn't make me feel comfortable. You talking to your ex, maybe stop responding.
I'm with you on that. I also think that if she agrees with us, I think what we said in the beginning, as far as like this person, obviously from their end, you can only speak what where assumptions are. Listen, if the boyfriend might, we don't know how much he's lying or not. But from our perspective, we both just said, it sounds like this girl gets a rise out of texting you whenever she isn't getting from her relationship what she gets out of you.
Yeah.
With that, if this emailer agrees with us, she should voice that. Hey, it seems like this woman, like to me, she keeps texting because her life is a little boring and you offer a little bit of a spike in the heart rate. And if you offer that and just go, that's just my feeling. Like it's annoying. Yeah. But like, there you go. And now you're doing what we're doing and he can go, oh, you think? Or he can go, and you can go, yeah, it's kind of annoying, but like, that's why she's doing it. And
well, because sometimes too, I feel like guys don't really think about these things objectively like that. And you have to like give them a hypothetical question for them to be like, oh, actually, maybe, yeah, that's why. You know? Yeah. It's like white or black with guys until you're like, dig deeper.
Yes. Well, I always say this with my girlfriend. I always have this like, it's funny that like, I felt like when we started dating, when you get serious with someone as a guy, you get pulled into this world, this war you didn't even know was happening. Like woman's war of like we're setting up the apartment and like we're setting up the apartment that we live in. And like she's kind of telling me like, oh, we got to have this and this. And I'm like, why do we need that? And she's like, and then she was telling me like how her friends' apartments are set up and how her friends want to show her the art that they get. And I'm like, oh, this is like your competition that I had no idea was even a thing.
You know, you unlock levels and levels of stuff once you're in a relationship.
the male competition is just so different. Like it's just like, and it's very much brute force and sex and money. Like it's kind of easy stuff
to
understand.
Like animalistic.
Yeah.
Like just if you think about like the cavemen days, it's like
totally
who's stronger, who
could provide the most food or some shit.
Yeah.
And in the female world, like going back to charcuterie, like a lot of this feels like when I look at a charcuterie board, I can tell when it's when it's someone trying to say something about themselves, and it's usually women that are trying to say to people, like the reason I started with charcuterie is that I tweeted out, I can tell what type of parent you'll be by your charcuterie board. And then people started sending me theirs and I was like, you'll be this type of parent. And then what I came to realize is that just like children, every woman has a picture of a charcuterie they made and on their phone, and then they all think it's great. So I do understand. So when I see, like, there was one charcuterie that I saw, and it annoyed me because it was so it annoyed me for women, and it's on my highlights right now. It's this woman who's like, look at my charcuterie board, and it's literally a half a tree on the table. and on the tree is like it's like, she's like, spent all day on this one. And it's like, no, you fucking didn't. You
Did
can't
she cut
even
down the tree stump?
Well, that's the thing.
That's
she didn't
effort.
Even, she didn't even acknowledge the like 20 people that had to have helped her in this thing. You know,
give credit to the people who help you make a charcuterie board. Definitely. Well, it's teamwork, you know?
This is my point. It's like these people that have nannies but don't let them in any of the pictures. It's like,
they're like, look, I made this whole thing.
Today was a drag. I had to go all the way to the beach and I had only two hands. It's like, no, you had two other hands. So it's like, it's this idea. So the charcuterie world, a lot of times when I see a board that's a half a tree, you're like, at least admit for the other people who can't have half a tree at their house that you had help here. Like, admit your privilege.
That's the thing. Like, with cheese by numbers, it breaks it down. So, like, you see a cheese plate that's really intricate and beautiful, but then I'm like, this is how you make it. You can
exactly.
do it, too. Versus, I don't know how to cut down a tree stump, so I can't teach you how to do that.
The whole idea, the I just put together a little something. That amount of passive aggressive doesn't exist in the male world. Just put a little together a little something, and it's like,
guys are just
nope.
like, here's a bag of chips.
But for this, so I'm saying for this emailer, if she kind of clues her in on her view of what this woman is doing, he can kind of go, he can take that or leave it. He can either I'm going to stop answering that and stop feeding into the manipulation, or he's going to keep going, and then it's a different conversation. We are sponsored people. The J Train Podcast is brought to you by MeUndies. MeUndies, MeUndies, MeUndies. As a podcast fan, you've heard me and every other schmuck with a microphone blab about these bras, boxers, and briefs for years. But here's the thing. MeUndies is the world's softest, most sustainable underpant. It's like having an angel feather your nuts all day, every day when you're rocking MeUndies. They design their underwear for comfort and self-expression. Whether you go for a basic black brief or a unicorn print, you'll be feeling like a king. Point is, it's time to cut off your toxic relationship with your tattered old undies. I know you are hoarding some real works of art in that top drawer. Make the adult decision and get yourself on a monthly plan for fresh, clean underwear. And it's listen, that's a great thing. Because what you can do is create an underwear conveyor belt. You can buy, the new one comes in, the old ones go out. And you won't have to feel bad about throwing away, you know, something that, you know, still kind of works. I think that's the problem with underwear. You're like, well, this works. Why would I get new? Well, because they're unbelievable. They're going to make your nuts feel like it's on a feathery pillow of dreams. MeUndies doesn't just make undies. They also have loungewear, too, in the same fun patterns you love, like the underpants, but also as soft as the underpants. So you can make your whole body just covered in MeUndies material. I love MeUndies, and they're not going to stop until every single one of my listeners tries them. So I want you to try them. They have a great offer for J-Train listeners. For any first-time purchaser, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/J-Train. That's MeUndies.com/J-Train, MeUndies.com/J-Train. We are sponsored people. J-Train is brought to you by Feels CBD. That's F-E-A-L-S. Feels CBD. I wasn't taking CBD a year ago. Feels, F-E-A-L-S, sent me, and I was like, you know what? Let's give it a shot. I wasn't a denier. I wasn't a hater. I was just like, let's see. It's now a part of my daily routine. I use it every day. I do genuinely feel more zen, more zoned in, less burdened. Especially after, you know, a night of drinking, which I've been doing a lot of lately. Wake up, I take my multivitamin, I have a couple Advil and I or a couple Tylenol, and I pop some CBD, and I'm living a less anxious life, I have to say. And the reason it was so easy is because they have a phone number you can call. They have a hotline that you can call that makes you feel better about it. You could talk to an expert, talk to someone who can let you know what the right amount, what it is all about for you. So I think that's the best part, is that you can call someone and they can kind of walk you through the process with their hotline, real humans you can call anytime. And they also, they have a little eyedropper thing. You don't put it in your eye, you put it under your tongue, but it tells you the dosage. It makes it really clear. So I think there's a lot of anxiety when it comes to like, well, what am I putting in my body? Feels makes it a lot less anxious going in, and you're going to feel less anxious going out. Feels helps me feel my best, and it can help you too. Special for my listeners. If you become a member today by going to Feels, F-E-A-L-S.com, Feels.com/JTrain, Feels.com/JTrain, you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's FEALS.com/JTrain to become a member and get 50% off, automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. One more time, Feels.com/JTrain. Feels, FEALS.com/JTrain, and feel better. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with That Cheese Plate. At That Cheese Plate. That Cheese Plate will change your life. That's the book. Marissa Mullen at Cheese by Numbers. Go buy the book immediately. Stop it. Go buy the book. It's all over my Instagram. Let's do, I want to do a little thing I called a deal reveal. Okay. Ooh. I forwarded you this email. And we're going to do a, so I'm going to read the email first. Hey, Jared, really need help deciphering this text convo I had with a guy last night. To give you the background info, we've been having virtual dates texting for the last month and a half. We had our first in-person quarantine date a week ago and another one on Saturday. We had sex. You should know I usually like to wait a bit before sleeping with someone, and then I told him that. I really can't tell what this guy's trying to say, but that got the impression in person that he was very into me. Also, he's been quarantining upstate and claims to be coming into the city just to see me. Let me know your thoughts. Okay, so Marissa, are you seeing anyone? What's your deal? What's going on with you?
I'm trying to find your email. I'll forward it again. Yeah, my email's all messed up. I'm single. I'm dating the hustle at the moment. Okay. Honestly, when you write a book, you don't have time to be in a relationship. I feel like I run a single person startup running That Cheese Plate because it's literally just me. And I just like right now, not my priority, but that's cool. Like I know.
What was your last? Sure. Have you had people reach out? Have you tried a dating apps during quarantine? Have you tried any of these?
Yeah,
things?
It's funny. So I had two exes reach out to me because of the book recently, which is okay. Funny. It's like you do something. It's like your birthday or whatever. You release a book and everyone comes out of the woodwork.
So I have a theory where it's beware of vacations, holidays, and quarantines. And those are times that a breakup might come because guys don't want to get more committed, and a birthday automatically makes you more committed. Guys don't want to go on vacation with a girlfriend if they're not sure about the girlfriend. So before a vacation, they might end it. Got in and quarantine, as we've come to learn, a lot of people got dumped like the day, you know.
A lot of people, yeah. It's like a lot of people got dumped, and a lot of people are getting into these like quarantine relationships, and none of them are going to work when this is over.
Well, we'll
see. I don't know. Maybe they will.
So who knows? But I would also say it's okay. You're a little you got some Parmigiano or Reggiano on that. So I would say you were talking. Wait, there's another. So beware the life moments, because life moments bring guys back. That is an opening to have another conversation. So life moments being career achievements. You released a book. Oh, all of a sudden, knock, knock, the exes come back because they go because
and they all get come at once.
They all come at once because they get a reminder. You're like, you're posing with the book. You look good. You got you're done up for TV. And they're like, oh my God, I had her at one point. I fucked up. I one time reached out to a girl because she put up a hot Instagram. Like this happens all the time. Is a guy again, guys are simple and stupid and caveman. So these like so all of a sudden it's like your name comes up on Wish Marissa happy birthday on Facebook. Oh shit. Marissa was cool. We used to date for this. Okay, I'll text her happy birthday, see where it goes. So you had guys reach out.
Yeah. And I mean with quarantine too, it's like we're all sitting inside with our phones. So yeah. I mean,
and you can't open
to
new.
Just be texting you're, people.
Yeah, you can't find a new person to maybe send you a nude.
I mean, if you go difficult. On the apps, maybe, you know. I was on them for like the first week of quarantine, and then I was like, I don't want to put energy into this.
It's a different type of energy, and it is an energy. So let's go through these. She sent these text messages. So to review, they were having virtual dates and texting for the last month and a half. They had their first in-person quarantine date a week ago. Another one on Saturday, had sex. She let him know that she usually doesn't do that, but she ended up doing it. And he's coming from upstate and to see her in the city. And he seemed very into her while they were together. You ready? Let's play some J Train Theater. Hit the music, Shelby. Okay. I'll be him, you be her. Well, maybe you'll like someone like that. But until then, you got me once a week, winky face.
Haha. So that does that mean that you'll be coming back to the city again?
I don't know. KKKKKK. He wrote IDK with a bunch of Ks. Can I be totally honest?
Yeah.
Okay, let me stop this to say, when a guy says, can I be totally honest, you're going down a weird or bad road.
You're
it's
opening
never positive.
That can of worms.
Yeah. He goes, he writes, I cannot get a read on you. Ha ha.
Uh-huh. What
yeah, he
you...
wrote A-H-A. Aha! I cannot get a read on you. Aha! Yeah.
What do you mean? Na-na-na-na. For and
he goes, how to put it? I don't know you that well, so I'm figuring you out, I guess. Like, hard to tell if you like me, what you like, don't like, etc. I mean, we definitely don't have to text about this. I just was thinking. Aha!
The ahas get me. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm glad you're being honest. I do like you. Honestly, I think I just have these walls up knowing that you're fresh right out of a 3-year relationship. Like, that makes me a little skeptical, like I've mentioned, but I really like what we're doing and enjoy spending time with you.
His first text back to that, which hers is a very honest answer. Like,
he got out of a 3-year relationship. That's kind of alarming. I mean, not alarming, but that's a long time, you know?
And it's also something on her mind, and she's being very honest. She's dating the way dating should happen. She's saying, I've mentioned, that makes me a little skeptical. Like I've mentioned, she's already mentioned it, but I really like that we're doing what we're doing and enjoy spending time with you. To me, she's not being crazy at all. She's not getting ahead of herself. All she's saying is, let's keep getting together and getting to know each other.
Yeah. And quarantine
so
dating.
He writes, okay, so I do like you too. So I hope you know that. Here we go. I get why that would scare you, but I would remind you that where you were also in a relationship where you were committed and saw it being serious.
I know. I like that we're taking it slow.
Only point being, I think we're both in similar spots.
I feel like I'm very much over my ex at this point, haha.
I'm 100% over mine. I promise you that. But I doubt you want to start dating your next boyfriend during quarantine. So I think my big thing is I want to take it, quote unquote, slow, or at least I want to have every opportunity. I want you to have every opportunity to find the right guy. Like, if you like me, I want you to like me when the world's back to normal. Go ahead.
This text is after he came to visit and they slept together.
Yes.
oh, well, that makes sense, because guys always pull this stuff. They're like, oh, you're like, I love you so much, and then they hook up with you, and then it's like, I'm going to slowly back away because you might be getting obsessed with me.
Chill. The term gaslighting gets used a lot. This is a lot of gaslighting. I mean, I don't think we're making him sound evil. He sounds evil.
We're just reading his text.
We're just reading his text. I mean, I'm putting my interpretation on how he's saying it, but to me, there's no other way to say it. Like, when he writes, so I think my thing is, I want to take it slower. At least I want you to, like, I want you to have every opportunity to find that right guy. Like,
why is he putting it on her? Like, he should just say, hey, I don't want to date you during quarantine.
He starts this by putting it on her. The move that he did is he wrote, the first thing he writes, one of the first things is, I cannot get a read on you. That's not what he is trying to say to her. Tell me what you want. Because I know what I want, and I just need to know that I need you to know what I want by making it, I can't get a read on you.
Instead, he should have just said from the beginning, hey, we should take it slow during quarantine because I don't want to really date you that seriously until life is back to normal.
Or, if anything, or say, hey, I'm going to have sex with you, but that doesn't mean that we're in a serious relationship. Like, I would have, and that's a hard thing to say to someone, but that's what he's doing this retroactively.
He's like literally going in circles and then backwards.
And the reason the emailer, she's confused, the honest one is always confused. He's being dishonest. He wrote a check his ass couldn't cash, which was, I'm really into you. That made her sleep with him. Now he can't afford to cash the check, and now he's trying to make sure she doesn't cash it until they're out of quarantine and she holds on to it and doesn't go to the bank. I mean, let's keep reading it.
Okay.
Like, if you like me, I want you to like me when the whole world's back to normal. That also sounds like it's out of a fucking movie from the 30s. Like, if you like me, I want you to like me when the world is back to normal, kid.
Baby. I know. I like that we're taking it slow.
Oh, no, it's down the page more.
Oh, oops.
Yeah, I get that. That's okay.
Oh, yeah, I get that. With three T's. At the end of the day, I feel like we vibe, and I want to keep getting to know you. Not looking for anything in specific.
She's right. Okay. He writes, okay, good. You're a cool girl. I definitely like hanging out with you. You fuck pretty good, too. Oh.
Red flag. I see it waving, the red flag.
And then he writes, so I'm happy to keep getting to know you better. Oh. Okay.
Rewind. If we were to say this text thread, his two texts in one sentence, he basically is saying, you're a cool girl and I like hanging out with you. You fuck pretty good, too, so I'm happy to keep getting to know you better.
It's brutal. If you didn't fuck good, if you didn't fuck pretty good, I'd be out of here.
I'm out.
Yeah, I don't know about you. Listen, I don't know if you know when we were having sex. If you weren't uncomfortable having sex before, now let me let you know I'm judging you through the sexual act to know if you'll be kept on the team. Like, that is fucking...
Oh, my God.
Oy. Okay,
she doesn't even talk. She's like, what? I don't think I'm that hard to get a read on. Haha.
Yeah, she's just trying to be nice. Like, maybe it was you saying you didn't want to have sex than us having sex. I really wanted to have sex with you, not just in general. So I didn't know if that was going to mess you up.
I also like that he had to put not just in general.
Yeah. No, I wanted to have sex with specifically you, not general sex. Not like, just anyone.
It should be inferred that he wanted to have sex with her because he's visiting her in New York. Okay, or wherever, the city. I promise we're fine, smiley face. I didn't want to initially.
Maybe even more than fine?
Oh, way more than fine.
See, now she's like lifting him up, which she doesn't need to do. Like, he was nervous that sex meant they were together. Because he has a huge ego, and now he's trying to unravel that in the most destructive way possible by making it, I don't want you to get messed up. It's like, dude, you were a part of this whole thing. Like, I can understand someone listening to this could be like, This is massively fucked up. I understand that and I agree with that. I would say to the listener also that, like, this guy, you know, plain and simple, he wants to have casual sex without having to break up with someone, which if someone's out there and you're dealing with someone like this, like, yeah, this guy's a maybe ghoster. This guy's a maybe get weird guy. And it's not because you did anything wrong. It's because this guy is so has such a large ego and is so worried about how, like, about being honest that he's being more of a liar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And his behavior is just very strange. It's like, he's like, the whole thing starts by him saying, I want to be honest with you, but then, like, asking her a million questions to be honest instead.
It's just him getting himself out of a responsibility position.
Yeah, totally.
So he writes, good, wait, go on. You didn't, so I promise you I'm fine. I didn't initially. And then I wrote, and then he wrote, maybe even more than fine. And then you wrote,
oh, way more than fine.
Good, wait, go on. Look at, now he's worried. You didn't want to initially. Huh? Now he thinks he's being accused of something. You didn't want to initially.
This is so confusing. Sorry, I shouldn't say that.
No, it is. Now. It is confusing, but it's also, I see what he's doing. He's,
yeah,
like, what he's doing.
See,
is
I get why she's writing in, because I'm confused with her.
I
and
get,
you're the
but
guy,
I,
and you get where he's coming from.
I get it, and it's like, we're here. We're here to help. And he's like, you know, this is like one of those guys that wants to be a good guy. And he's doing everything except just being straightforward and honest. She was straightforward and honest. She's like, I'm here to get to know you and see what happens. Yeah, we had sex and that was fun. I don't think that means that we're in together, but it does mean that I should have the respect of a call if you're not looking to hang out again. And he's taking it. His mom told him he looked handsome in a suit a few times. So he's taking it as, man, if this ends after we hooked up, I'm the most destructive person in this person's life, which isn't the case. You just have to go back and say, hey, I said a lot of things that maybe sounded like I was promising. Or don't say those things going into sex. You know, it's... You can't go back, but now that we've gotten here, he has to go back. He has to make sure that he could make a comeback, but he's not doing it.
Yeah. So, sorry,
go ahead.
We keep going sideways.
That's okay.
So, but I changed
it's
my
worth
mind.
Worth going LOL. Sideways.
We are taking this text by text.
We gotta.
But I changed my mind. LOL. You changed my mind. I just generally like to wait a little bit. But like I told you. Oh.
Like, okay.
I just generally like to wait a little bit, like I told you.
Well, I won't make you regret it. See, I don't trust any promises in a text. He's already said, I promise once, and now I won't make you regret it. I'm glad you changed your mind. It's nice to know we're compatible in bed. it's nice to know we're... Now he goes back to being... Douchey McDoucherstein. It's nice to know we're compatible in bed, but definitely very interested in the rest of you. Oh, you like my mind? So on that note, I'll say goodnight, and I'm very happy to plan another trip to the city to come see you.
Okay, good. I'll be looking forward to it. Have a good night.
Good. TTYS. Talk to
Who
you soon.
Who says TTYS anymore?
Like a old, he's like
I
a dad.
I said that in like fourth grade on AIM.
I like that we went text for text on it because it's very illuminating, I think, to anyone listening to this. I can see what he's doing. I think for her, she needs to like let him know, like, you got to go to him and be like, hey, I'm not going to deal with this fucking feel me out shit. Like, she has done nothing wrong. I'm looking to get to know you. I'm looking to make a plan. I'm looking to, like, when this is all over, go on dates and be taken out and be taken seriously like a normal fucking adult. And if you're going to play the game of having sex with me and then trying to get me to agree that this isn't serious after we have sex, then I don't want to see you anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
again,
I think that's
communication.
Yeah. But I know that's harder, easier advice to give than it is to say. Because
yeah, totally.
I think maybe hearing us kind of laugh at this, you know, you would hope that like she looks at this and goes, okay, we're helping. We're trying to like understand the beast you're dealing with. This beast is a guy.
He's manipulative.
He's being like, manipulative.
He's confusing as heck. And like,
yeah,
and it seems like she likes him too. And the fact that it's like, she's being honest and totally saying how she's feeling. And it seems like she does really like him. But then in turn, he's like, well, I like, we're compatible in bed, but I'm definitely interested in getting the rest to know the rest of you. It's like, dude,
don't even make that,
say that.
Don't even make that promise. Just be, and I think which the emailer needs to just understand that, like, he can, listen, a lot of guys do this that do end up getting married to someone. Okay. Mm-hmm. They become serious. They're someone's husband. They're someone's boyfriend. I'm not saying this guy's an evil monster or he can't mature, but understand this is the you're dealing with someone who wants to have sex casually, that 2 months from now you might be going, he might have a conversation. You'll probably have a conversation with this guy that's like, I'm not trying to get serious. And it's like, and a lot of people get in a position where they blame themselves. And it's like, you have been honest. That's all you should be.
Yeah, totally.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Marissa Mullen, this was fantastic. This was so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. You know what? It's actually really nice to not talk about cheese plates all the time. So
right?
It's like a refreshing, like, talking about dating is so fun. And we should do like a charcuterie dating.
Like, we should do we should match people with
match people based on their charcuterie plates that they send you.
I like this. We're gonna figure something out, because that's why we initially met, and I'm so happy we met. You're so much fun, and this was amazing. And everyone, please, please, please go buy the book. That Cheese Plate Will Change Your Life. That is the book right there. You can see it on YouTube and on the video at That Cheese Plate, at Cheese by Numbers. Marissa Mullen, thank you so much. I'm Jared Freed. We're here every Monday through Friday. Keep on telling people. Keep on sharing the word. Keep. Thank you so much. Boom.